according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Moses did what God said, and the people drank. It was a literal rock from which literal water flowed. For the people of this day, it was life-giving water, because one cannot sustain one's life without partaking of water. And being in a desert region, as these people were, they were indeed fearful of dying of thirst for lack of water. On that occasion, they were given life-giving water. That is, it provided physical life to them. It was a physical rock from which it came. It was physical water that came from the rock, and it provided physical life to them. It sustained their life physically. But remember, Paul said it was spiritual drink. It was spiritual drink in the sense that the supply and the source of water came from heaven. It came from God. That's what sense it was said to be spiritual. Another Old Testament text from which 1 Corinthians 1, our 10 and verse 4 is taken, is as Numbers 20 and verse 1 and following. "Then the children of Israel and the whole congregation came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, 'If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink.' So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals.' So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, 'Here and now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?' And Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank." Paul said that this referred to a spiritual rock. That spiritual rock. That spiritual rock that Paul speaks of is actually a physical rock again. That physical rock, again, on this occasion, produced water just as the physical rock had produced water in Exodus 17, 1 through 7. It was a physical rock, it produced physical water, and it sustained their physical life. The same thing was true on the occasion that we just read here in Numbers 20. It was a physical rock, physical water came from the rock, and it sustained them physically. But Paul said they drank spiritual drink. And that rock was a spiritual rock. And that rock was Christ. It was spiritual in the sense that the supply and the source from which it came was God. That's the idea that's being presented. When they drank water, they drank literal water. It sustained their life physically. But Paul refers to it as spiritual drink, and as a spiritual rock. The original rock was literal. The water was literal. Both were spiritual in the sense that both the supply and the source of the supply were from heaven. It came from God. Christ was the rock and the water came from Him. The rock followed them, Paul said. This is not to be understood that the literal rock was rolling around behind the Israelites, as the Jewish fable speaks. But rather it means that Christ in His pre-existent state was interested in the children of Israel, that is, in the people of God, and He followed them and He blessed them. That spiritual rock was Christ. That is, Paul speaks here of the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. That is, he speaks of Him as existing before the New Testament time period. Christ was interested in the people of God in the days of Moses and the wandering of the children of Israel in the wilderness. So the Apostle Paul simply relates this to impress upon the Christians of his day in the church at Corinth that Christ was the supply of physical blessings to these people to whom he writes about, but he is a supply of spiritual blessings to children of God today. It's not strange that Christ would be referred to as a rock, because God is referred to as a rock. Deuteronomy 32 and in verse 4, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. God is our rock. Deuteronomy 32 and in verse 15, But Jezreel grew fat and kicked, grew fat and grew thick. You grew fat and you grew thick. Jezreel is another name for Israel. The word itself in the Hebrew means the upright one. It's the people of Israel who are under consideration. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. God was their rock of salvation, but they had esteemed him. Deuteronomy 32 and in verse 18, Of the rock who begat you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. So, is it any wonder that Jesus Christ is referred to as a rock? No, because God was referred to as a rock. Deity is referred to as a rock. And so in Matthew 16, in verse 16 and following, Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation stone. He is the rock, remember, of the temple of God. He is our rock of salvation. As God was referred to as the rock of salvation for the Israelites in times of old, Jesus Christ is our rock of salvation today. Because just as the physical rock brought physical blessings to the children of Israel, as it poured forth physical water to sustain their physical life, we receive spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ. Christ the rock is the supply of living water for us. The supply of living water. In John 4 and in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, speaking to the woman of Samaria at the well, said, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Note that. Whoever drinks of this water, that is the physical water coming from the well of Jacob there as they were drawing water on that occasion. Whoever drinks of this physical water, they're going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Now look at that very closely. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him. The first water in verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You're going to have to drink over and over again, because you drink of that physical water, you continue to get thirsty. You always have to go back to the source to quench your thirst. But not so in verse 14. In verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. That is, you drink one time and you never thirst again. Because that drink that you take becomes in you a fountain. It becomes in you like an artesian well that bubbles up and overflows and springs up unto everlasting life. Jesus Christ gives you that water. You have to come to Him for it. He is the rock from which that water can come. You might say He is the well from which that spiritual water can come. But you have to come to Him and partake of that water of life. That water of life, you take a drink of it and it becomes in you an artesian well. It's bubbling up and overflowing and continually flows in your life. And it bubbles up and overflows to eternal life. You partake of that water of life when you come to believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as long as you continue to believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that word that you partake of through the gospel is that water of life that bubbles up unto eternal life, because that's what it produces in your life. John 7 and verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me and drink, because you'll never thirst again. Christ the rock is the supply of living water. Even as He was the supply of literal water, He is the supply of living water. In John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, note this, shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Not only does this passage speak of Jesus as being the bread of life, but by inference we see that he is also the water of life. Jesus himself is the water of life. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. To come to me is synonymous with believing in me. But the believing in me is more than just a mere mental assent. It's an obedience of faith. It's a faith that obeys. We come to Jesus believing and obeying his word. He is the bread of life. The one who comes to me shall never hunger. You come to Jesus and partake of him as the bread of life, you will never hunger again spiritually, because His Word becomes the food that feeds your soul constantly. But he who believes in me and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He is the water of life. You partake of Him, you come to Him, partake of Him, and you will never thirst again spiritually. He will provide what? Spiritual life-giving water. He's not going to give you literal water, but he's going to give you spiritual water that brings eternal life to your soul. This is actually the theme of the song that we sing sometime, O Rock in the Desert. So Christ, the rock, is the supply of living water, even as he was the supply of literal water to the Israelites. But Christ is not only the supply of living water, he is the supply of all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In a union and a relationship with Christ Jesus, when you come to him through faithful obedience, get into him by faithful obedience in baptism, you enjoy all spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing. None is outside that relationship. They're all found in Christ Jesus. Well, if he's the supply of every or all spiritual blessings, what are? What is it that he supplies in regard to these spiritual blessings? Well, let's just note some. He is the supply of peace in Ephesians 2 and in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off, speaking of the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. The peace for both Jew and Gentile. He is the means or source of our peace, who has made both one, both Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so to his creating himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So he's the source of peace. Not only does he bring peace between man and God, but he brings peace between man and man. It is a spiritual blessing that we all have and can partake of in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the rock, supplies that peace. He is the source of that peace. Just as he was the supply or source of the physical water that came to the Israelites, he is the supply of our spiritual peace today. Another spiritual blessing is escape from condemnation. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In a reunion with Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. No fear of wrath and punishment from God, because we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're free from condemnation. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. People sometimes speak, not as much as they used to, speak about starting their life over again. Well, when you become a Christian, you can start your life over again, truly. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus, as if you were just literally born into the world. You can be born into the body of Christ. Become a new child of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. What a blessing it is indeed to be made new again, free from sin, and able to live a life in harmony with the will of God, knowing that you're in a right relationship with Him each day. He is also the supply of redemption in Romans 3 and in verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus. Redemption is liberation, it's freedom. It's the freedom and liberation from sin. Where is it found? It's found in Christ Jesus, in that relationship. Found no other place. Jesus Christ is the source of that redemption. He has redeemed us. He's liberated us. He set us free. He set us free from what? From sin. Thus, redemption and the forgiveness of sins are associated together in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. So here we have another spiritual blessing. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's as if Paul is telling us what redemption is here. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Dash, the forgiveness of sins. That's what redemption is. Liberation, freedom. Freedom from sin and its consequences of condemnation to our soul. Other spiritual blessings supplied by the rock, Jesus Christ. Salvation, Acts 4 and in verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no salvation in any other but Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in any other than our rock of salvation. He is the source of everlasting life. He is the source of living water. He is indeed the source of life. John 20 and verse 30. And truly Jesus did many signs in the presence of His disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. In His name here simply stands for His person, that you may have life in Him. Now, since we just began a study of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, those epistles, we're going to make a lot of references from time to time, perhaps, back to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written for the purpose to cause people to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, that is deity. Well, John's going to take that proposition up in 1 John because there are people of his day that deny that. They're antichrist. And he's going to deal with that proposition that he lays out in the Gospel of John in 1 John. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He wrote the gospel to cause people to believe that. Well, people believed that in the first century. But in 1 John, some had believed it but had fallen away. They had forsaken that belief. They had quit believing that Jesus was deity, that Jesus was the Messiah who had come in the flesh. And John will deal with that in 1 John. So we see that Christ, the rock, is the supply. He's the supply of living water. That is, He's the supply of life. He's the supply of eternal salvation. As He supplied the children of Israel with physical life by providing them with physical water, He provides us with living water that sustains our life spiritually. Of that which is needed, the most needed thing then, in the days of the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness, no doubt, was water. And the water of life is the thing that is most needed for us today. We have an abundance of physical water today. What we need is spiritual water. We need the Word of God. We need the gospel that sustains our life. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain. You take in that drink of water. You believe and respond to Him as you come to Him in obedience. You take Him in your life, and that becomes a fountain in you. That belief grows and bubbles. That obedience becomes more mature. The more you obey, the more you will continue to obey. And it will spring up in your life unto eternal life. So as physical water is needed in the days of the time that Israel wandered in the wilderness, spiritual water is needed for us today to sustain us spiritually. Christ the rock provided water from a very unexpected source, didn't he? A very unexpected source. Who would have expected to get water from a rock? Think about it. If you were looking for water, would you go to a rock to find water? That'd perhaps be the last place you'd think to go. But that's where they went. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. Didn't it seem kind of foolish to go to a rock to get water? But yet that's where they went. A very unexpected source to get water. You would think that they would have looked for a hole in the ground, or they would have dug a hole, but no, they go to a rock. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" But they did bring water for them out of that rock. Well, God did. But the rock was a very unexpected place to find water. Who would expect it? Life-giving water to come from a rock in the middle of the desert. Well, who would have expected all spiritual blessings to flow from a man named Jesus out of a little unknown city called Nazareth? Who would have expected salvation from someone like that? Spiritual life comes from a very unexpected place, doesn't it? In Isaiah 53 and in verse 1, "Who has believed our report," Isaiah asked, "and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when you see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Who's being spoken of? The suffering servant, Jesus Christ. A very unsuspecting source when it comes to salvation. "He is despised and rejected by men." Is that the kind of man you would go to? Even seeking perhaps some kind of physical help or physical aid? Someone who's despised and rejected by men? "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. When he was crucified, the people looked upon him, and they thought he was being crucified because God was punishing him for something." And that's what they thought. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. A very unlikely source of salvation. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Yes, a very unexpected source of salvation. Just think about it. He appeared to be conceived out of wedlock, born in a stable, a refugee in Egypt, brought up in a little unknown city of Nazareth, an unimportant city, brought up in a common family with not a high degree of education, evidently. He did not sit at the feet of the great scholars of the day. He was not of the celebrity class of the day. He was not of what we would refer to as the movers and shakers in the great metropolitan cities of the time. He was not the son of a king or some great political figure. Christ the Rock provided water from an unexpected source, and he provides all spiritual blessings to us. But it comes from an unexpected source, a rock. Jesus Christ. The water that was provided for the Israelites, for the most part, was wasted in the wilderness upon the Israelites. I want you to think about that. God gave them water on those two occasions, but that water that he gave them was largely, or for the most part, just wasted upon them. It sustained their life physically for a short period of time, to keep them from dying of thirst, just so they could die some other way. It did. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Verse 5. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Yes, he gave them spiritual drink, and he gave them spiritual drink from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them who partook of that spiritual drink, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. See, the water that God gave them was wasted upon them. It sustained their life for a period of time physically just so they could die some other way. And the same thing is true today. Christ the Rock provides living water, which is largely, or for the most part, wasted also. Because most folks never even seek the water. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So Jesus is a source of spiritual drink today. He's a source of spiritual water. The water that brings spiritual life. But that water, for the most part, is wasted on many people because they're on the broad way. They're entering the wide gate. They're not willing to enter the gate that is narrow and difficult, which leads to life. Only a few are willing to do that. Of those who do come to Christ for the water, many turn away. The whole point of this powerful comparison here in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12, is to persuade Christians not to make the same mistake of rejecting God as the Israelites did. That was the whole point of it. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10. Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, here's the conclusion. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. As the Israelites partook of physical water provided from the rock, it sustained their life physically for a period of time. they fell away from God, rejected Him, and their bodies were strewn in the wilderness. Most of you here have partaken of the spiritual benefits of the rock of Jesus Christ. You've partaken of that spiritual water of life through faithful obedience to the will of God. You've done that. Is partaking of the water of life going to be something that is only going to sustain you for a period of time and you're going to fall away? Is it something that's going to be wasted on you? Remember, that water that you partake of becomes in you a fountain bubbling up unto eternal life. That's the total and end result of it. So summed up, let us learn from this lesson the importance of becoming the Lord's people and then the importance of remaining true to Him. For only by doing that will we be sustained spiritually by Him as the rock of our salvation. The lesson is yours. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, why not become one? Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, confess that sin. Repent of it. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.